Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network.
Hey everyone, welcome to a very special episode 49 of the Mom Hour. Today, Sarah and I are actually recording this together. On site in Southern California at a conference that we're at together called the Mom 2.0 Summit. We are in Laguna Niguel at the Ritz-Carlton overlooking the ocean, and I kind of can't believe this is my life right now.
No, it is outrageously gorgeous here.
And the sound quality might be a little different than usual because we are sharing a mic and we're in bed. Did we mention that? We're in a bed together. So what we did this time, and I'm so excited about this episode, it's we witnessed this bed has been the site of several interviews.
There has been a lot of podcasting in this bed.
Yes, there has been.
Recently.
And we recorded interviews with 3, soon to be 4 sets of mom friends who met online. Yeah. And so there are people who are at the conference with us. One is Jessica Ashley that I'm going to be talking to a little bit. She's the first one, actually. Jessica and I are talking about our mom friendship that started online at the Chicago Moms Blog a few years ago. More than a few, but I'm not going to say how many. Then it's Liz Gubner and Kristen Chase of Cool Mom Picks. They also have a great podcast called Spawned. They talk about how they met online like in 2004 or 5 or something ridiculous like that, and how that's led to them being best friends and having this great business partnership. Then we have Asha Dornfest of Parent Hacks and Christine Koh of Boston Mamas. They wrote Minimalist Parenting together and have the Edit Your Life podcast. And then at the very, very end, so you have to hold out, Sarah and I are going to share our story, how we met and how we make it work long distance.
And you know what I loved about, so we've listened to these interviews.
And watched.
Already.
We were all in the room together and it was awesome.
So if you're already thinking, well, I'm not a podcaster or a blogger and I don't do online work, what I just got so much out of hearing these friendship pairs talk about their friendship and talk about, and I think so for our listeners who aren't in this space, I feel like it was very sweet and it was like made me appreciate like all my different kinds of friends. And I think it was in Asha and Christine's interview, she just made a really good point, which is the real life versus just online friends. Those lines have started to blur.
We have real life
friends that we mostly keep in touch with online, or we have online friends who become real life besties. So if you are just, you know, if you're not in this same space, if you're not in this bed with us, literally or figuratively, stick with it. It's like beautiful interviews about friendship. And I know our listeners actually have been asking for mom friend topic.
Yes.
So that's kind of what it evolved into. And it's going to be really cool.
I'll be honest that we totally came up with this idea at like 2 o'clock this afternoon.
So behind the scenes, we do everything at the last minute.
We do everything at the last minute. But it's a great show. I got really teary actually watching every single interview and listening to what these people have to say. So please listen and make sure you listen through to the end.
Yes.
Because so that's when Sarah and I will tell our story.
As usual, you can find everything at themomhour.com. This is episode 49.
Yeah.
And you'll hear a lot of new voices, which is something you don't normally on our show. So if you're wondering, again, who all those wonderful people are and how to find them, again, just go to the Mom Hour and we will have links galore.
Oh, and one more thing, you guys. We want to make it clear that we have people from different shows on today. So we are giving this episode an explicit rating. It actually only has like one SH bomb. And maybe
a little naughty talk.
A little tiny bit of naughty talk. Not terrible. It's very fun. Please don't let that deter you. But if you are concerned and used to our show being uber clean, I would say that instead of PG like we usually are, this one might be somewhere between PG and PG-13.
Yeah.
So not bad, but we have to be upfront about that. So we know that a lot of you guys value
the...
Yeah, pop in your headphones and listen to it, or just when you listen to the Spawned ladies, just do earmuffs. Okay, on with the show. Hey, everyone, it's Megan. I am here with my friend Jessica Ashley from Single Mom Nation, and we're going to talk about our friendship story. It did in a land far away called Chicago Mom's Blog.
And a blog that no longer exists.
Exactly.
Even in archive format.
It doesn't even exist in archives? Okay, not really. So... we both wrote for, I lived in Chicago for a hot second or like a year, and we were both writing for a group site called Chicago Moms Blog. And here's the funny thing. The first couple of times I went to an event and Jessica was there, I was super intimidated by her because she always had awesome hair and cute clothes. And I just felt like she was giving me the stink eye.
I don't know why. So I had this complex.
See, I'm super intimidating.
I had a Jessica complex until we roomed together.
Yeah, we were on a Facebook group together, and it ended up that we both were looking for roommates.
Yes, for a conference that we went to.
It was a leap of faith.
It was. And so we went to this. So we went to this conference, and we roomed together. And I have a really funny memory of coming out of the bathroom. So we were drinking some wine and sharing very intimate stories about our lives. And I was like lotioning up my chest. And I walked out of the bathroom and I was like rubbing lotion all over myself. And you said, would you stop lotioning your boobs for a minute? And so that was.
I'm glad we're sharing this story. I'm glad.
It was actually
but it was
funny.
A bonding moment. Like, you know, if you're in that situation with someone, like you're either not coming back to the hotel room or you're going to be friends for a really long
exactly,
time.
Exactly. And in our case, it worked out that we did become friends for a long time. So since then, that was what, 2011? 2011,
that
right?
That seems right.
Yeah. So we've gone on to room together at several more conferences. We've hung out in person a lot. But I think and we've collaborated on different projects. But one of my favorite things is just that we talk all the time.
Yeah, you're one of the few people I'll talk to on the phone.
That's
a big deal.
That's special.
Like, it's actually easier to get you on the phone than text, which is weird when you work with somebody online.
Yeah, when I usually don't answer my phone.
But you're definitely, like, you're in the tribe. And we've talked so much about that. We're at a conference where we've talked so much about finding your tribe and solidifying your partnerships and finding those people who you can make magic with. And I think that was one of the great things about that moment in time. And also it's where we met up with Christine and Asha and really became such a close group then, because we were all in a place where we were wanting to do so much more.
Yeah.
And it was a real shift for me. That was when I left a big job and was going out more on my own. And you were all really there at a moment that I think was critical for me feeling supported in doing that. And I could see what was possible. And that happened really quickly in real life, because I think we'd fostered some acquaintances online for many years.
Yeah, I agree. The other really cool thing is that you went through several big life changes. I mean, we both had kids who were getting older, and then you went and had yourself a baby.
I did.
And it was really special to be part of that. I felt like, you know, it was. I remember you trying to get pregnant, and like, that was something you really, really wanted, and how exciting that was, and kind of fearful. And then you were, and it was like,
I think you were the first person I told.
Oh.
I mean, outside of the father. Well. But I think even before my mom, you knew that I was pregnant.
Oh my gosh, that makes me really happy.
Yeah.
So what is the takeaway for this? So we're talking about like how great we are at being friends. But what is, you know, for someone who's sitting at home and maybe doesn't really ever think, hey, I'm going to start a business with someone, or I'm even going to go to a conference. Like, not everyone does that. Not everyone's weird like us. But there's this beauty to this way of meeting and what I think is great about this whole episode is that everyone on this episode became friends with someone that, if not for the internet, would literally never have met.
Well, I think that there was this great thing about already admiring the work that you do and knowing the work that you do and having some, it wasn't like a stranger in a hotel room, and then just being open to see where it went.
Yeah.
And we were both in the same mindset.
Yeah.
And then we just connected.
Yeah.
I mean, in the way that you would meet friends when you're in kindergarten or you would in college, I think it's an extension of that.
You mentioned Facebook groups earlier, and it's actually kind of funny because I was thinking about how when I first became a mom many years ago now, there was no Facebook, but there was forums. So you could get on a forum. And there were always people, I still have to this day, friends that I really connected with 18 years ago, because you get a sense, you can really get a sense of someone's personality via their online voice. And I think that now, what I kind of envy newer moms now, who are just kind of starting off, it's like now they're so, they can really connect with people in a much more real way. I mean, in those days, you didn't even use your real name. All the forums were just kind of anonymous.
Beep, beep, beep.
And exactly. Now you see their kids and you see their picture and you know their name and you see who they're who they're friends with outside of the group. It's like a really kind of a cool time.
But also it's just like any other social situation, I think, where there are going to be people who you're acquaintances with. And then there are like real and deep and authentic relationships. And not everybody who works outside of the online sphere understands that those are authentic relationships. But they are, particularly if you meet in person, and that can really be solidified. It's not always.
No, that's true.
There's that there can be that magic moment.
Let's talk about let's talk about the way sometimes, yeah, that I'll never forget that part, that kind of can bleed over into real life, though. Because I think sometimes people think that they have these relationships with other moms that live online in like a little box, and that's the only place it lives. But I know your kids. You know some of my kids. And we've done things together out. Like last year we did Listen to Your Mother, Southwest Michigan together, which was great. And we don't live in the same town. We live about 1 hour and 2 hours apart. But there's always like those opportunities to get outside of the internet, get off of our phones and get together in real life, even if we live far away. And even if, as some of the other people in this episode have talked about, live much further away than 2 hours. So, right. Yeah.
Well, you're not necessarily a physical presence, although we see each other occasionally in our lives, but you are a presence in my family life when we're talking about what we do at work and what we're partnering up on and what's coming next, like what projects, and we're at the dinner table talking about those things. So my son knows Megan Francis as a part of our life, and it's two names. It's not just Megan or Megan Francis.
He always calls me Megan Francis. Yeah,
And so you're definitely a presence in our lives. And so I think that that's also something that maybe is not always validated or talked about, that somebody who you know online can be very present in your family or in your parenting situation, that it can feel just as big as the mom down the street who you're exchanging babysitting time with or you see in playgroup.
So Jessica, if you're a mom and you're listening to this right now and you're feeling lonely or isolated and you're not finding your tribe in your town or your playgroups or your whatever it is, your school, you know, school pickup line or whatever, what is your advice then to find your tribe maybe using the internet?
I think Facebook is a great place to start, because you can hunt around for mom groups that are in your neighborhood or in your city, and you can connect with moms who have kids that are maybe not exactly the same age as yours are. There's value in having moms who have children your same age, obviously, to get together if you can. But getting the advice, for example, that you have given me, particularly in being pregnant the second time, that's been just really rich for me and important for me and supportive for me. And so I would say start there and find ways that you can maybe reconnect with people who you've known in past parts of your life who can be a support too, that they don't necessarily have to be in your city. Sometimes it's that lady from high school who is liking everything, but that can feel like a real support at 2 a.m. when you are up with a sick kid or whatever the situation. That can be just as authentic and real and a presence for you as somebody who you can call to come from next door.
I couldn't say it better, so I'm going to leave it there. Jessica, where can everybody find you?
Find me at Single Mom Nation.
What's the URL?
Single-momnation.com.
Single-momnation.com. Okay. Find her there. Thanks so much for being on, friend.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kristen Chase.
I'm Liz Gumbiner. We're the co-founders of CoolMomPicks.com and the podcasters of Spawned with Kristen and Liz.
And we're friends.
In real life friends. And we get to work together every day.
IRL. For the youngins. For the youths.
So we should tell the story about how we met.
Yeah, it's a good story.
It's kind of like Tinder before there was Tinder. We met online.
Yeah, without all the sex stuff, though.
There was no swiping of any kind. So we both had personal blogs. Mm-hmm. I was writing Mom 101. You were writing Motherhood Uncensored. And I thought you were very famous.
Well, I was very famous.
I know. You had been blogging like 3 months longer than I had. And you left a comment on my blog. And I was like, famous blogger left a comment on my blog.
You should say I tried to leave a comment on Liz's blog, but she had it set. Her settings were such that only people with blogger profiles could leave a comment. So I actually emailed her to say I wanted to leave a comment, but I couldn't, and you should open up your comments.
And it was not scoldy or sanctimonious in any way. It was super helpful. I thought, wow, that's so nice of you to write to me and tell me that you couldn't leave a comment on my blog and you would like to leave a comment
You're
on my blog.
Like, what a cool mom. And it was like a premonition.
I just felt like like the people on the internet are talking to me. It was very exciting. And so I opened up my comments, and then we kind of started a old-fashioned pre-social media comment on each other's blogs relationship.
Yeah, and then I had this idea to start a website called Cool Mom.
Cool Mom Shit.
Beep.
Oh, we don't. Oh, right, we forgot. cool mom, S word. I forgot. Megan's podcast is not as uncensored as Bond is.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, so I was going to start a website, and I asked a couple of people that I loved, you know, on the internet, they're writing, and one of them was Liz, and I said, hey, I have this funny site that I want to start. Do you want to write for it? And she was like, yeah, that'd be fun, but you have to change the name.
Yeah, I thought it might limit us later in life at some point. And back then, you know, blogs were not commercial endeavors, but we really wanted to support moms and small businesses that we were starting to see pop up online. We had blog friends who were making homemade stuffed animals and trying to sell them, and we just thought it would give women and other mothers a venue to help promote the cool S-word stuff that they were making.
Fun. I haven't said S-word in a long time.
Can we say poop emoji?
Then people will know what we're talking about for sure. Yeah, so then Liz was like, hey, do you want a business partner? And I was like, okay.
Yeah, you were awesome. And I was like, 50-50? And you're like, sure. It's like, that was the best business deal I ever made. And just like that, we were partners. And the best part is that we had never met in person. I don't think we met in person for a good 4 months until we went to the BlogHer conference.
Yeah, the first BlogHer conference was about 6 months after we had started the site. And that's the first time we actually met in person.
And meeting you was like, hey. Like, I remember thinking, I just felt like I knew you by then.
Yeah, and that's the first time we also met Asha, too, from Parent Hacks.
That's true. Actually, you know, I think a lot of women that we've remained friendly with in the blogging and now social media, digital community, are women we met that very day. The rookie moms, and there were tons of them.
I don't even remember. All I remember is wearing pasties outside of my shirt.
Yes, that's when back when blogs could not get any sponsorships, and BlogHer conference was their sponsors included a pasties company.
Really bad water.
Really bad. Really bad. It was water. Disgusting. We were all dehydrated the whole weekend.
It was terrible.
And a bib that said like the name of some now defunct.com company on it, and I think female condoms. We've come a long way. Now we're at the Momtua Summit, and they're like, here's 800 pounds of free Dove products.
And some ice cream.
Yeah, lots of good ice cream. So then when we started the site, it was really just a grassroots way to write about stuff we thought was cool. And we originally thought that we were just going to be all about small brands and small businesses. And over time, what we realized was that people were saying, well, what would you buy at the mall? Well, what would you get at Old Navy? Well, what would you get for Christmas if you only have $25 to spend? And we realized they were looking for us for curation and for our opinions. And we were like, oh, we can do more with our site.
Yeah, and at the same time, I mean, we live far away. So Liz was always in New York, and I was in various weird places in the South, like Mississippi, and then Arkansas. Or
those are not
Atlanta.
That weird places in the South. They're just in the South. I just want to point that out. There's nothing really weird about them.
Well, weird isn't bad. It's just sort of like random places. You know, I don't know. They were weird to me.
Well,
I love weird.
You were, you know, a highly educated college professor from the North living on an army base in Mississippi. So I think that's one of the things I liked about you. You were like a fish out of water.
I was not on an army base.
You were not. You were a military base.
My ex is a pilot in the Air Force.
Whatever. I didn't know people in the military. No, I'm just kidding. It was a base of some sort with people that wore uniforms and did fighting like things for the country.
Is this like we've suddenly started playing Taboo? Military! Anyway, so yeah, so we didn't live close together, but then what was cool is that we started to do more in-person stuff, and we became, we were obviously friendly as we were writing together, but we became really good friends, and what's really awesome is that our daughters are really good friends too, because we would come up, and we were always with kids, and then our kids, you know, they sort of grew up together. Our oldest daughters, their birthdays are a day and a year apart. So every summer we would go up to the Jersey Shore. Well, you wouldn't go up.
I would go down the shore.
I would go up to the shore, which doesn't have the same ring to it. And yeah, and then we would celebrate our birthdays.
And that was when we had one child each, and now you have four, and I have two, and they're all still friends. And they go to sleepaway camp together.
They do.
It's kind of awesome that we get to be business partners and friends, and our kids are friends, and they text each other at night when they think that, you know, we don't know. when they're supposed to have put away their phones. And it's hard to believe, like, when we had little two-year-olds together in the Jersey Shore in the, you know, playing in the ocean, that one day they'd be like, hey, let's chat on this Minecraft server.
I know. Or, you know, I just started a revolution. Or when can I come see you?
But the thing I think is so amazing, kind of like Megan and Jessica were talking about, is that I don't think we would have met any other way. And to me, that's one of the most exciting things about what the digital space has done for women, is not only has it opened up job opportunities, I think, in amazing ways. If you think about it, 10 years ago, this was not an industry. This was not a career. Like, all the moms out there who are making a living doing this incredible thing, this didn't even exist.
We were just fooling around on our computers.
We were messing around, and we created a career out of it. I mean, along with the thousands of other women who did. And we really found our tribe, and we got to find people we probably never would have met any other way.
I know. Well, I mean, for me especially, not like, and I'm sure there are a lot of other people like this too. I mean, I was living in Mississippi, and I felt really out of place because I didn't have any friends that were moms. And that was the one
Mississippi
thing.
On the Army base. With the fighty people.
With the fighty people.
I just have to say, for Megan's audience who don't know me, I am like the master at mispronouncing things and like misspeaking all the time. So if you tuned into Spawned ever, you would catch me saying things like Jason Timberlake and Justin Timberland and Jason Bieber, and I just make up all sorts of stuff.
Yes, I'm the fact checker,
and now you lived on an army base that you never lived on, so we'll add that to the list.
It's all right, but yeah, so our kids are friends, and I think, you know, for me, it was so amazing to be able to connect with other people that were like-minded, because I didn't feel like I had those people nearby. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the internet and social media, because I know it sometimes gets knocked, you know, hard in terms of the negativity and the trolls and all that kind of stuff. But on the really positive side, it has been a great connector, and I think, you know, in some ways a great equalizer. So,
and I think especially as we've moved away from personal blogging and our site has really become a lifestyle magazine, you know, that covers all kinds of topics. We talk about food and technology and DIY and crafts and gift guides for holidays. Like, we do so much, but it's not as personal. I love that starting a podcast with you gave us the opportunity to talk again about all the different kinds of subjects that we are interested in as parents.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, our podcast is much like this, except we're not usually in a bed.
That you know of. Also, we get to edit a little more. So I wouldn't say things like army base with fighty people. Actually, I probably would.
You probably would. But then it would magically become an Air Force
base.
What are
your favorite topics that you think we've covered on Spawned?
You know, I like our cool pick of the week because it allows us to talk about stuff that we might not necessarily feature on our site that we still like, but it might not fit editorially or whatever. So that's been my favorite part. I mean, of course, it had to be when I wore the magical pants. That was my favorite part. We're talking about moments.
Well, you can talk about the magic pants. That
was
great.
The pants are
the
best thing
you
ever.
So you said your cool pick of the week, and you're like, Liz, I'm wearing them right now. And I was like, oh, they look cool. They were some kind of like exercise pants.
Yeah, so they're these capri pants that have extra elastic in them, so they burn about 14 to 15%, that's a very exact figure, more calories when you wear them.
And you wore them, and yes. I was like, oh, they look good. And you lifted up your shirt, and I go, oh, no, no, no. There was like major camel toe happening.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, I'll never have sex again. So thanks.
The chastity pants. We turned them into the chastity pants.
We called them chastity pants because I couldn't get them off. I mean, not that I tried in the podcasting booth, but I mean, really, it took about 40 minutes to get the pants off.
Well, that's how you burn the calories. It has nothing to do with working out.
When I wore them, it was like an extra 20% more calories because I couldn't get them on or off. But that would be my favorite moment. In fact, I styled my whole entire outfit. It was like hip-hop Kristen came in. You were like, who is this?
Well, I like that we've done every kind of topic. Like, sometimes we talk about pop culture. And recently, I love the episode we did about how to talk to your kids about politics during a very contentious election year, which actually became a topic I got to speak on the Today Show about this week. So I like when we talk about things that kind of get out into the culture. But I've also loved the interviews we've done lately.
Yeah, we just added guests. So that's been kind of fun. We've had Rosie Pope and LeVar Burton came on and made us cry.
You've never heard anyone speak so beautifully and authentically about children and literacy and giving every kid a chance. And I'm going to cry right now just thinking right, about so it.
Yeah. No, there's no crying in podcasting.
There is if you're me.
All right. So if people want to find us, where can they go, Liz?
We are at Spawned with Kristen and Liz on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, your favorite podcast app.
It actually is a parenting podcast. If you listen to it and you're a science fiction fan, you will be very disappointed. And our apologies in advance.
And it is an explicit rating, whether or not we still have that written there. It is. So I'm just warming some of Megan's more sensitive listeners to be aware that if there are children in the room, you might want them to leave. And you can also find us online at coolmompics.com, coolmomtech.com, coolmomeats.com.
Yes, and on the, like, those social media thingies. Like Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Vine.
You're on Snapchat. I'm still, like, the old
You're
lady.
You're on MySpace.
Who's like, I'm not on Snapchat.
Come visit me on my MySpace
page. I'm holding on to Friendster if it kills me. Well, Megan, thank you so much for having us on, and I hope we get to have you on our podcast.
Yes, sometimes very, very soon, except we won't have the bed. Sorry.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christine Coe.
And I'm Asha Dornfest.
And where are we from, Asha?
Well, I'm from Portland, Oregon. Where are you from?
I'm from Boston. And we have the Edit Your Life Show podcast.
Yes, we are. We're also the co-authors of a fabulous book called Minimalist Parenting. But there's so much more to us than just these facts, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. Let's see. So this episode is about mom friendships that started online, which sounds a little creepy perhaps, but it's not. It's totally not. In fact, I actually made a friend on MySpace. Did and you? She moved to Boston, and I met her in real life, and I'm like, oh God, is this going to be crazy? But she was awesome. Anyway, do you remember how we met?
I absolutely remember how we met, and it's so now it just sounds so quaint when you think about email and everything that means. We met because you sent me an email.
I did. How did you receive that? I mean, it was just an email saying, I really admire your work, Asha. You're awesome. And I recall that I was not asking you for anything. I just wanted to, like, express myself. Is that weird or was it cool?
Well, so here's the thing. So I think we need to set the stage a little bit because this was at a very different time, I think, on the internet and the blogosphere. And do we even say blogosphere anymore?
I don't know.
I don't even I don't know if that's a word. I wonder if that actually just completely dates us.
The internet.
Anyway, if I recall, I had started a blog maybe 6 months before that. And so you were just a few months behind me in terms of your own blogging, you know, journey. Mm-hmm. And so you had sent me an email basically saying that you loved what I did and that you loved the way that I promoted community. And your question was it weird? And no, it wasn't weird. And I think that's what's weird. Okay, here's what's weird. You sent me this email and I just immediately felt connected to you on some level.
Did you feel my aura through the internet?
I don't know if it was an aura, Christine. But I did feel it was not like I got a million of these emails and it's, you know, so it was unusual. Hmm. And it was just such a generous thing to receive. It was a wonderful, like, moment of connection. And so we just started talking by email.
You know, I kind of love that. And, you know, similar to, it was so funny. It's been so fun seeing this episode be recorded in bed in a hotel room because it was fun to listen to Kristen and Liz and hear about them. I didn't realize that they had, you know, met online and not met until Blogger because that's exactly what happened to us. I think we were online friends for maybe 3 years?
No, more than that.
Because we had a couple of missed connections, places we were supposed to be at, mm-hmm. conferences, P&G, I remember, we were mm-hmm. both supposed to, different things. And then it wasn't until Blogger in New York, and we're like, let's room together. Let's meet in a hotel in New York. It wasn't as seedy as it sounded, right?
No, not at all. No, not at all. And so it's really interesting because, you know, here's this friendship that started via email, literally. And then, you know, we would leave comments on each other's blogs yes. because, you know, this was before things like Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just moved. Various platforms basically showed up on the internet and we'd get on those platforms and talk there. And then we would tweet with each other.
Although, you know, I think I'm following you on Snapchat and you are not following me.
Well, that's because I don't think I've ever even launched Snapchat.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I just gave you your first, like, Snapchat. I don't even know what they call them. Face filter? Filter lesson yesterday?
Oh, my God. It's true. It's true. She's still teaching me. So anyway, this is the thing. It was literally a virtual friendship, and yet it developed. It wasn't like, oh, that's a nice person who sent me an email once. It was a friendship that actually developed, and then by the time we actually met in person and said, yes, let's meet in New York and you know, room together in a hotel. It was, you know, we knew each other. It wasn't even like we knew each other. We did know each other.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I think the cool thing, too, is that I feel like there are different junctures of our coming to, you know, obviously we don't see each other that often since we live 3,000 miles apart. But there have been different conferences or inline opportunities that have kind of evolved our professional relationship and certainly our personal one to the next level, right? I mean, our book partnership came about at Camp Mighty.
So I actually want you to talk about that a little bit because I have a memory of it. I want to hear it from your perspective.
Oh my gosh. One of my key memories about that time was that I was doing this shady breast milk transfer while we were at Camp Mighty. And I was like, hey, Southern California, I got like 80 ounces of milk. Who wants it? But that aside, yeah, I mean, Camp Mighty was, for those who aren't familiar, it was started by Maggie Mason, who's just awesome, and just really into people identifying and finding ways to make their goals and dreams happen. And so, I don't know, there were like maybe 150 people there. It was like a mini conference, and we were there rooming together again, I think sharing a bed. And I had this idea for minimalist parenting, and I just was like, I want Asha to do this with me. Uh-huh. And I just felt like that was going to be the best and truest way to make this project happen. Uh-huh. And we were just so aligned. And you said yes. I proposed, and you said yes.
Oh, but guess what I first said? At first, I said no. Do you remember this?
Yeah, you were not into books.
Okay, so here's the thing. So the amazing thing was Christine had this incredible sort of dream and vision, and at first, I didn't. It wasn't that I wasn't all there with you. It's that I wasn't necessarily going to write a book. And did Christine respond to me like, oh, man, you know, you've crushed my dreams? No, you were like, okay, cool, you know. And and I had offered to help with the proposal and everything else. And we kept talking about it. And then you sent me the proposal. And then I read the proposal. And it was like, we have to do this together. Mm-hmm. And it was a complete and utter 180. And it wasn't just a... For me, it was almost realizing that we had to work together. And it was a story that we both just felt in our heart of hearts we wanted to tell. But I think what's amazing about that, too, is that even that we came to from such different places. Mm-hmm. You know, minimalist parenting for us, writing that book together, we come from different backgrounds. We come from, you know, our children are very different from each other. And yet, and the way we approach problem solving in life is very different. And yet we came to this similar place somehow on completely different paths. And that, to me, has always seemed really magical.
Yeah, it's really pretty cool. I don't know. And then I'm just trying to think about, do you want to, like, talk about the podcast a little bit and how that came about?
I feel like there's still a detail about the book that we should share.
Okay, go for it.
Which is that it wasn't, here we decided to embark on this huge professional project together. We had never worked together before.
Yeah, it's not
like
true.
It's not like we had never done so much as, you know, write a blog post together.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it was so obvious to us that we wanted to do this. And in the process of writing a book, which is an extremely long process, it's a long and challenging process, we discovered, you know, through working together that we seem to have these completely complementary skill sets.
That was a little crazy. Yeah. That was a little crazy. And I specifically what Asha means is that I refer to her as my, like, Yoda in all things. Like, she just has, like, the smart big picture ideas, and I'm definitely more of the, like, chase the carrot bottom up, you know, task oriented person. And that was kind of crazy. That was, like, sort of a beautiful accident.
Well, and it's funny, here I am the big picture person, as you say, and, you know, and you're the task oriented person, which means things get done. Things happen. No, really, I think things really happen because you have an incredible ability to just implement and you picture something and then you make it real. And that is where I want to talk about the podcast, because our work that we did on minimalist parenting really inspired all of these mm-hmm. conversations and inspired us to do the podcast. But it very easily could have stayed just us talking on the phone about these things.
Yes.
It didn't necessarily need to turn into a podcast. And I really feel like this is where your strength really came out and said, come on, Asha, we can do this. Let's do it. And you wrote out the list. We did the research together, but boy, it happened, you know? And it's happening. And it's it's this next chapter that's so incredible to get.
It is cool. And, you know, when Liz and Kristen were talking about how fun it is to be able to, like, you know, talk about something that maybe may not have made it into their blog for one reason or another, I was thinking about how one of the amazing things for me personally with the journey with podcasting is that, you know, I'm a writerly person and I'm like a just intense wordsmither and I'm always, you know, I just work really hard on editorial. So it's been very freeing to do the podcast, to be able to dive deeper, to be able to riff. And also, actually, I should mention, because it is a personal growth issue, to get over the fact that I just used to hate my voice. Like, really, really hate it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay with it. It's
oh,
fine.
My gosh.
Whatever.
I forgot.
Right.
I totally forgot.
Remember?
That.
Like, yes. Our first episodes, I'm like, oh, my God, I hate my voice.
Which
it's
is
awful.
So funny, because when we record the podcast, we do it via Skype. And I get to have the experience of literally Christine's voice in my head, okay? Because it's like, it's really early for me on Pacific time, and it's an incredible experience. I love your voice. I really do love
That's
your
really
voice.
Funny.
I love that that our friendship, you know, it started as words, and it's like turned into talking. And because of this podcast every week, it gives us a way to be together every week, which mm-hmm. I really, really value. Mm-hmm. I love it.
So do you have any, you know me, I'm so tip oriented. So I'm curious if you have any ideas for Megan and Sarah's listeners about friendships and either taking a plunge online or just maintaining them or some kind of, you know, friendship tidbit.
All I would say is that when that dichotomy between in real life friends who you meet wherever you meet them, you know, in person and the online friendships that you can make, that dichotomy is going away. And I think that oftentimes when we're online with people, we can actually move past the small talk. We can just skip that part and get straight to the stuff that's actually really meaningful to us and meet each other on a deeper level. I mean, that doesn't always happen, but it can happen. And to value that and to just honor it and realize that if you're feeling friendship for somebody online, it's real. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, I feel like, I don't know if you can replicate this experience. It's an individual experience for individual people, don't you think?
It is, of course. Yeah, absolutely. I just, I just feel like, I mean, friendships, obviously, for, you know, especially for women are just, you know, magic. And especially for moms, like we just you need them, right? And you need your village in whatever way you can carve it out. So I just, you know, I love thinking about this topic. And I guess I wanted to say that when Liz and Kristen were talking, one thing, and they were talking about reconnecting on Facebook with people, and it made me think about the idea, and this is kind of my tip, I guess, that, you know, through Facebook, people often say, oh, you have to reconnect with these people that you know, and I didn't like them back in high school, and why would I reconnect now? And I just wanted to say that I feel like it's really important to have an open mind about people, because the people you knew, how you knew somebody 20 years ago is not going to be necessarily be what they might still be like that, but it's very, very possible they have evolved. And I just wanted to say that because I have some friends from high school and college who I wasn't necessarily that close with them then. And now they are among my closest and dearest. And somehow just the way life works out and the way becoming moms at around the same time, just the way that kind of happens and you end up having a play date at a convenience and then it turns out they're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That has happened for me on a number of occasions and it has been such magic.
Well, and the other thing is
interesting.
I know for my cousin, she actually lost her husband very suddenly. This was a number of years ago and he died very suddenly and he was young. And as you can imagine, this was devastating to her family, but she found, literally, it's a widow's group. It's a Facebook group, and these are now dear friends that she has all across the country, very much like our blogging friends. They share everything, and they are able to really share what's really going on with their lives, what, you know, the strange pressures that come to this unique situation that they're in. These are real, real friendships that have happened, and so interesting sort of place, unsuspecting she went into that, that she would actually find these incredible friends.
Great. That's amazing, and clearly Facebook should be sponsoring this episode of the podcast, because, like, what the heck? I mean, seriously.
I know.
Okay, so as much as I'd love to chat with you for, like, 10 more hours in bed, I think we should close it out, and Asha, why don't you tell all of their fair listeners where they can find you, because there is one very key place they could find you right now, especially right
right now they can actually find me in bookstores,
so I'm like your best publicist.
Yeah,
I'm like
really
PR agent for everybody.
So my blog is called Parent Hacks, parenthacks.com, and my book is the same, Parent Hacks, 134 Genius Shortcuts for Life with Kids. It just came out. So this is why Christine's like encouraging me to talk about it so much.
It is awesome. It's awesome.
I'm proud of it.
And you are Asha Dornfest on most. See, here I go again. You're Asha Dornfest on most profiles, right?
Yes, I am. Asha Dornfest on Instagram and Twitter, and you know, Parent Hacks is on Facebook. But now tell us about you, Christine.
Well, you can find. I know I have a local niche name, but my blog is BostonMamas.com, and it's both Boston editorial, but also a lot of national, just lifestyle or editorial. So you can find us there. Obviously, our podcast, Edit Your Life Show, and I have a Lifestyle Solutions video series on YouTube. So it's just YouTube/Christine Co. And I'm either Christine Co or Boston Mamas on the various social channels, much to my chagrin, because somebody's squatting on Christine Co at various places.
There is no other Christine Co. What are they thinking?
I even contacted the other one on Instagram, but she has not responded to me.
Clearly she doesn't have the same mojo that we have.
I know, or she's just not obsessively on Instagram as much as I am.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, Megan and Sarah, thank you so much for having us. And we love your podcast, and we're such huge fans of yours. And we're really grateful to be able to connect with your listeners today. Thanks, everyone.
Absolutely. Thank you. And it's really fun to actually relive these moments. So thanks for giving us a chance to do that.
Okay, guys, it's the moment everyone's been waiting for. No, actually, it's just the moment I've been waiting for, because Sarah and I now get to share our story.
We realize that we feel like you listeners out there should know this, but then we realize we haven't really talked about it on the podcast.
No.
So people who followed us when we blogged together at The Happiest Home, which was The Happiest Mom, and then, of course, our friends and stuff know. But I don't think we've, like, shared our story on the podcast.
No, which is interesting because, how do they even think that we came to be? I don't know.
We just are.
We just like were created in a lab, or like we just floated down from heaven. So actually the real story is that I was teaching an online writing class in 2011 and Sarah took the class.
Yeah. So the backstory on that is I was a reader of yours. So Megan had a blog called The Happiest Mom, and I discovered.
Do you remember how you found me?
Yeah. Well, I probably from a Babbel list, actually. Babbel used to make lists of mom, like top mom bloggers. I actually will tell a really quick side story of how I discovered the first blog I ever read, because I had one baby, which would have been like 2009. My one baby is 8 years old today. So maybe she was like 1 year old. And my friends and I went to see a one woman show at local community theater, or like touring local theater, called When Did I Get Like This? I hope I didn't mess up the name. It's Amy
Wilson. Yeah, it's Amy Wilson. Yeah.
Who is an actress.
Yes.
And does a whole bunch of other things. But when I went, I wanted to see, what is this show we're going to? So I went to the website, and there was like a little button on the side that said blog. And all I knew about blogs was like people journaling online, and I just hadn't ever been drawn to them. I didn't know anybody with a blog. I like clicked that, and she's very funny, like right up my alley in terms of like humorous stories about her kids. And then I just got sucked down wormhole of reading mom blogs, because I was, you know, I just had one baby, and I loved like hearing people's stories that way. So I think I found your blog on a list of Babbel. So I went from reading zero blogs to reading like all of the major blogs in a short amount of time. And I also discovered Twitter a little bit after that. And I would follow. And you were very active on Twitter in those days.
Yeah.
And you were very funny. And I was like really into the snark and like just people who were just being real about motherhood. Yes. So I liked your vibe online, your blog. I mean, you were really helpful and non-judgmental. I was always drawn to like, you'd take an issue on your blog and be like, yeah, but what about this? And I liked that little bit of contrarian, but also super inclusive of like, you know, have we really thought this through? So you'd like pick apart some, you know, issue in like motherhood internet land, and you would just like look at it from a different angle. And I loved that. And then you.
Well, haven't we talked about how you and I can never take a stand on anything?
No, because we either play devil's advocate or we can see both sides.
Yes.
So we make terrible, like, I say soldiers in a mommy war. Like, we make terrible soldiers.
Cause in a lot of ways, we make kind of terrible bloggers. Because really.
Yeah, because we don't want to be controversial.
No, we're like, no, we like all of you.
Yeah.
I feel like our whole thing is like, what we've always said the podcast, really what it all boils down to is it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be okay.
And also, it depends.
Yeah, it depends.
It depends.
I don't know. It depends.
The answer to everything is it depends.
So we do not really do declarative advice.
No.
But on the writing side, I had just started writing. I kind of played with having my own blog, and I never really felt like that was exactly the way I wanted to do it. But I had started writing for a local mom blog that was like a collaborative blog with local moms. And so I kind of felt like, oh, and I had placed a piece in a local magazine. So I was like, okay, well, I really think I want to try this writing thing, writing about motherhood. I had written in a corporate sense before, but and then like timing was right. You were advertising an online writing class to teach us how to be freelance writers.
Yeah.
Is what I wanted to do at that time.
And that class, I have to say, I've taught a lot of classes. Yes. Since. That was a dream team. Like just yeah. everyone who took that.
Yeah.
The chemistry was great. Everyone was a go-getter. Like, yep. everyone was so supportive. It was, like, one of my very
and
favorite experiences.
It was, like, pretty brand-new writers, but talented, yeah. talented
yes,
people
talented.
Who are, you guys know who you are if you're listening. Yes. It became a very
and who have all
group.
Gone on to do great things.
Amazing things in yeah. all totally different areas of writing and creative pursuits. Like, no yeah. one did the same path at all.
No.
But I think some of our earlier interviews talked about Facebook groups, and again, it comes back to there was a Facebook group for
yes.
that.
Yep.
class where you facilitated our, and it was a pretty hard class, I have to say. Like, we had major assignments.
Yes.
You, like, really,
I
you
really
were a driver.
You. I know. I guys raked you guys over the coals for sure.
And, yeah, so that Facebook group felt pretty collaborative and intimate, and I want to say maybe there's, like, 12 people in the class.
Yeah, something like
so
that.
So I feel like we got to know each other, but you were my teacher, man.
Yeah,
like, it was
funny.
It was definitely, like, a teacher-student relationship. And then we were Facebook friends because of that class.
Yeah.
And I took a editing job at Scottsdale Moms Blog where I had been writing. And then I was like, well, now I kind of like this. I like this editing kind of project management, like editorial planning, social media. I kind of like, that's still kind of where I end up drawn to a lot of the time. I like that side of it. And so you approached me about a year later after our class because
yeah.
you knew I'd been doing editing work. So
yeah.
you should tell that. About, like, what you were looking to do with your blog.
Yeah, okay, so it's funny. I mean, it's been so long now.
You know,
it's been 4 years,
I'll
right?
You.
Okay. No, I remember. I was just at a point where my blog was growing, and I am not a very, for myself and my own projects, I'm not organized. Like, I will totally skip all the details and just dream, 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 big picture, and I was kind of realizing I really needed someone to balance me out and help me with a lot of the stuff. And I needed another voice on the site, frankly. Like, I really, my kids were getting older. I had already written so much content that I felt like it would really be helpful to have someone come in and help me. And I knew your writing style. I knew it was very kind of much like mine. The funny thing is now sometimes I'll read some of your old posts and I don't know right away if it's mine or yours. Like, we have a very similar
yeah.
kind of style. And I also knew from just from having talked to you on the phone, because part of the class was
yeah.
we did like one or two
yeah.
phone
Which
conversations.
Which now it's funny because you hate talking on the phone.
Oh, I hate it. Well, but in that case, it was fine, but I don't
yes.
like answering the phone when it
right.
rings. Like, if I call you
yeah.
or like we have an
yeah.
appointment, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I just thought for some reason you just popped in my head. Like, you were the first person I thought of. I just thought Sarah seems really organized and smart. And I know you had little kids, and I knew you weren't working outside of the home. And I thought maybe she'd want to do something, a little something, something. And so, I mean, how weird must that, like, was that weird to you to get an email?
I was so flattered. I was really flattered because I still kind of thought of you from a distance.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was flattered, but I also, the timing was perfect because I was feeling really confident in what I had done for Scottsdale Mom's Blog.
Yeah.
I had grown that. I had added 12 contributors. I had managed an editorial calendar. So even 6 months prior, I would have been like, yeah, like I just wouldn't have felt qualified or even known if I would have liked it. But it was such perfect timing because I was in a place where I was like, yeah, I can help you.
Yeah.
And that was that, you know, sometimes opportunities come to you and you're like deer in headlights, and that's okay. And other times you're like, I got
this
one. And so I remember being really flattered and also being like, it's really perfect. And then my second thing was like, I was like, you know that I'm 6 months pregnant with my third child and my other children are 2 and 4. And you were like, that'll be fine. The third kid is usually pretty easy and like they sleep a lot. You won't need a lot of time. I remember you were like, you won't need a lot of time off, will you? This was like September maybe, and I was
That's
due
hilarious.
In January. And I was like, oh, I was like yeah. freaking out about even having a third kid. And my kids were really young and it ended up
well
fine.
And I had just remembered, like, you know, I had done that same
yeah.
thing through 3 babies.
Yeah.
And so I was like, she'll be fine. I mean, I figured you'd probably
right.
go off the
yes.
radar for
and
a while.
And isn't that so our personalities?
Yes.
I'm like thinking of everything that might go wrong and why this will be really stressful. And you're like, yeah,
I was
fine.
Like, nah, it'll be fine. And it was, you know, I'm sure you probably were super stressed at certain times, but it was in the end.
No, you're right. They do sleep a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was totally fine.
I also knew like we could work together. We could make it work. Like I knew I wasn't going to be a super hardcore. Like you have to, you know, you get a week off and then, yeah. I mean, it was much more flexible than that and fluid.
But it probably was a little bit of a leap of faith for you because you had been solo for a long time and you had tried hiring like virtual assistants before and that hadn't had come and gone.
Well, so and do you remember our initial communications about your actual job was like me going, here's the thing. Like, I need someone to do this. But I know you can't do all of that, but here's some of the stuff I want to do. And they would be these emails that would be like pages and pages.
I wrote a job description.
Yes.
Because that's like more how my brain works.
Well, and I couldn't write it for you. Yeah. I needed you to write it for yourself. That actually was one of the things I needed you to do because I couldn't write it for you. So that worked out really, really well. But I mean, I guess then the great thing is, so what really happened then at The Happiest Mom, which we then very soon
a couple months after
rebranded into The Happiest Home, and we worked on that for a few years together, is that you became like a really consistent voice on the site. And I felt like, you know, listeners or readers really connected with you, and you had younger kids, and it was like a really great kind of transition. And then when we started to talk about shutting the site down, and I wavered a lot. And I really wanted to keep working with you on something.
Yeah.
And it was like, what is it going to be? Yeah. What's it going to be?
Well, and don't you feel, I feel like we always kind of knew like we would work together in
something.
Some capacity.
Yes. Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was. That was a long process
it
of
was.
Deciding to.
But the podcast is what did it.
Yeah.
When we did the Mom Hour, I said, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
This is what we'll transfer. Yeah. You know, this is what we're going to transition into. And now I can really like let the blog go and I'm going to feel okay about that. And so we started the Mom Hour like a year ago.
Yep. Exactly a year ago. And we also, I'm thinking of, too, like, when we met in person for the first time, because some of our other friend pairs that talked about that. And you came to Phoenix for a smaller blog conference.
Yep.
And Violet was, like, three or four months old, so I probably wouldn't have traveled anywhere, but it just happened to come. It's funny how these come to my hometown.
I know.
I live in these.
And I remember
places.
Holding Violet, like, you were doing something. Were you in a session?
Eating or something?
And I remember sitting on a bench. Holding Violet.
Yeah.
And she was just a little chunk, like a little baby.
Like a nugget.
Yeah.
But we actually spoke. So I was like at my first blogging conference and then spoke about.
We should share a picture of that.
Yeah.
We have a picture somewhere of us speaking. Yeah.
But we talked about working together. I think one thing that's different with us than the other people that we've talked to is, you know, we were like teacher student and then technically like boss employee, although I think we've always worked so. I mean,
we're more
like
a partnership.
Yeah.
That's not
but
like that.
Yeah. And I think it's cool how the personal friendship has developed even in what would be like traditionally like more formal roles.
Yes, absolutely.
I just think like, we get along really well. I feel like we have the same, we think the same things
we
are funny.
We do think the same things are funny. And we're different in all the right ways.
Yes.
And the same in all the right ways. So like the things I really need you to be a little different in because that helps things actually get done is. It's like a perfect match. So what and I love is like you're right. It did kind of go from this teacher or mentor or whatever student and then boss.
Yeah.
Employee.
Underling,
peon. And now it's like we're really partners in this. And it's great. And I just love how that I mean, one of the things I keep thinking, you know, going forward now that I'm almost 40 and moving kind of out of a very intensive phase of motherhood in my life is like how to lift up and support other women and help everyone just like kick butt together.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that I think is so great about the online space. It's like not, you know, I am a girl from a small town in the Midwest. I did not graduate college. Like if this were 20 years ago, I wouldn't even be thinking along the lines of the things that I've done and the things that we've been able to do together. It wouldn't even be possible. So it's like the friendships and connections you can create also like the people that you can have these conversations with and have these ideas with and these brainstorms with are, and so there's a people part of it. There's the opportunity part.
Yeah.
It's just really cool.
Yeah.
And it makes me really excited. I mean, I know we complain a lot about like what the internet is doing for our kids, like do our kids, but I'm also very excited about the possibilities and the doors that it opens.
Agreed. No. And just back to that note of, you know, lifting others up and supporting each other. I have to say so I've been to probably three conferences with you. And again, for listeners who don't know the backstory, Megan's been doing this professional writing and or professional blogging for over 10 years. And again, going into this backstory, I started in a very small way in like 2011. So like half that time.
Yeah.
And none of it on a major scale for a long time. So you have been so generous with me. Like every time we come to one of these conferences, you're so generous with like,
aww,
you know, introducing me to your awesome friends and not making me feel like the new kid. And awesome. Yeah, no, but it is, it is a community that is welcoming, but it still can be intimidating if you're the new kid.
I totally
always
get it.
Feel like you'll always save a place for me.
Oh, I do.
Or the bed.
But and the bed. So let's talk about how this has kind of like leached over into our real life.
Yeah.
So last summer, our kids had a chance to meet.
That was really fun.
And we should post a picture of one of Clara or Allegra's.
Yeah.
So Clara and Allegra really hit it off.
Yes.
They're almost exactly a year apart.
Yeah, they're a year apart.
And they write each other letters.
They're pen pals.
They've got school and stuff. It's gotten crazy. So they've gotten a little lackadaisical. But the last letter Clara wrote Allegra was like, why don't you write me anymore?
It was a full guilt
trip.
And
it had like a sad face. And it was like, but why? Tell me why or something. It was hysterical.
And then Allegra writes back very matter-of-factly, like, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
And it was really fun to hang out. And our husbands get along really well, does not surprise us, I don't think.
No.
But you and I, again.
We've kind of joked that, like, you're John and I'm, like, Brian.
Yes.
So we have, like, a little bit of that,
but
you know.
Feel like they also are cut from the same cloth in some ways, like, just as dudes.
Yes.
So, yeah, we actually got to go out to dinner, the four of us, last night. And I don't know. I love our texting relationship. Like, just, like, inappropriate humor at all times.
Yeah.
And,
the best. Like, funny pictures. And she likes to tease John because he really wants to live in Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
So Sarah will text John pictures of her at the beach in, like, January just to mess with him. He'll come in the room and be like, Sarah.
Yeah. He's like,
I hate her so much right now. So...
No, it has been really fun. So
it has
we've got to get out to Michigan. But we came to Chicago,
so we're even. So like what's the takeaway? I mean, I just feel like we've heard these great stories today of these women who have developed, and I don't want the pressure to be on for people who are listening who are like, I'm not gonna start a business. I'm not gonna do a podcast.
Or make friends with strangers on the internet.
With strangers on the internet. But I feel like it just being open to it, being open, and I have to say, even though Facebook Groups is not sponsoring this, but they totally should be.
If we'd been more ahead of the game,
they would have, right?
So I have been a member of over the course of Facebook, 30 to 40 Facebook groups at least. And it's, not only is it a great way to meet people who are sort of in your interest group, whether that's new mom or whatever it is, it kind of just shrinks the world a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like is happening now in a really cool way. Like, it's just becoming that much easier to connect with people. I mean, I just ran back into my best friend from first grade on Facebook. She was totally not around. Could not find her anywhere. And I searched hard. And one day she just popped up on Facebook. And I was so excited. I mean, maybe I'll never see her again.
Yeah.
She was a major part of my life,
yeah.
You know? And now she's, like, back. And she has kids. And it's just so great to be able to connect that way.
Yeah. No, I was thinking Asha and Christine, when they were talking, Asha, I think, hit it on the head when she said that these lines between what is a real life friend, and I mentioned that's at the start of the show, and what's an online friend have completely blurred. And when this was really clear to me was when we moved from Arizona to California about a year and a half ago. There's like this awkward thing that happens when you meet real life people for the first time. And now the way social media is, you know, what happens is they go home and they send you a friend request like right away.
Right.
And I have to admit that sometimes that's a little off-putting for me because I feel like, well, let's like at least pretend to try to get to know each other a little bit in person, because then you go and now like you've got access to like all of me immediately. It's just very strange. However, I will say that like then there's real life friends that you actually haven't talked to in 20 years. So how is that any different?
Right.
That they are seeing pictures of your kids. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I agree. I think those lines have blurred so much, and I think as we get closer to 40 and as these friendships kind of like mature and you need different things from your friends, you don't need everybody to be your bestie since high school.
Right.
And you don't need everybody to have the exact same kid's age as you. So I just see it as richness rather than delineation.
Yeah.
And I think we should say something to our listeners who are not on Facebook, because those people do exist, that all of this, all of this is part of a much bigger conversation, which is how do you keep in touch with the people who are important to you? How do you nurture new friendships, especially if they're long distance? And how do you bring out good creative ideas, whether it's work or passions or just going on a trip together? And how do you make that happen across the miles or with busy family lives? And I think obviously Facebook is where a lot of it happens,
it's
but
convenient.
It's not the only
place.
So.
I mean, their friendships could be made in the comments section of our podcast show notes, hint, hint. But I'm just saying, you know, the things that draw people together, it makes sense that people who connect with us for whatever reason will connect with each other.
Yes.
You know, that's how this all works. Yeah. The reason we get along is because you read my blog and liked what I had to say. Well, then it makes sense that we would like each other, you know, and that's true with so many of the people who I've found that way. And I'll also say, like, I think sometimes there's a little bit of like hero worship or something when people have a platform. Mm-hmm. And I get it because I get it. I have that, too. But honestly, if you lived in my town, and nobody really lives in my town, but if you did, if you lived in my town or a town over and you reached out, I would totally get together with you and hang out. Like, that to me is the beauty of it, too. We're all just people.
Yeah.
We're not movie stars. Right. We just have a microphone and a RSS feed.
Yeah. And your husband, John.
And my husband to do the editing. But really, I mean, that's all. We're all just people. And that's, I think that that's where the beauty is and the great connection. As we kind of all become, like, in a way it sounds so corny, but we all become kind of like content producers in our own small ways, whether it's posting stuff on Facebook or doing a podcast or whatever. It just gives people a little peek into our lives. And then that can be a great way to discover your people.
Yes. And to find then, quote unquote, in the old sense, real life. It's all real life.
Yeah.
But the old sense of offline friendship.
Someone you can actually see in real life and can hold your baby or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know,
whatever.
Or whatever.
Whatever you want to do with that baby.
Yeah. So, okay. So should we wrap up?
Let's wrap up.
All right. So we just want to make clear, we want to make sure that you guys check the show notes for this one, because I want you guys to go to Christine and Asha's podcast and sites and Jessica's podcast or site and podcast. She has both. And also Kristen's podcast and Cool Mom Picks. So, like, all the links will be there for you.
And we hopefully turn some people on to new shows. So people are always looking for new podcasts. So we purposely did this. Could have been anybody, but we purposely did it with other podcasters. They would with a microphone.
Well, we didn't want to have to teach someone how to hold it or anything.
But also because then we can connect you guys, who are our listener friends, with
other people,
other
that
shows.
Like, who have great podcasts. So please do check out episode 49. Go to those show notes. Let us know what you think. Like, if you liked this and think it would be fun for us to do more special, weird episodes like
in bed,
and, you know, have a glass of wine. Like, let us know, because we are always experimenting. We're always happy to try new things, to an extent.
hello@themomhour.com is how you can reach us, or leave us a comment in the show notes.
Next time, guys.
Bye, everybody.